Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk. Ask the GP on Lunchtime Live.
Yes, Dr. Niall Breen from Portmarnock GP Clinic is with us for this Monday afternoon's Ask the GP. Niall, how are you? How are you keeping?
Yeah, keeping well. Thanks.
Good.
Andrea,
yep. 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. Plenty of questions to get through. This listener says their baby has all the symptoms of teething, but no teeth have yet appeared. She's 11 months old. I'm worried that she hasn't got any teeth. My husband says that everybody gets teeth, so stop worrying. Yeah, yeah, pretty practical advice, I suppose. Any thoughts?
It is, yeah. Look, I suppose babies get teeth at a wide variety. From some get them early, 4 to 6 months. Some don't get them till they're over a year old. So I think telling someone to stop worrying probably isn't helpful. But I would reassure that texter that almost everybody gets teeth, and it might just be that this baby's taking a little bit longer. So I don't think it would be a cause for concern yet. If she has the symptoms of teething, it's likely that they're on the way. And that they just haven't arrived yet.
Okay, so no need to go to the GP, their own GP yet, just...
No, there isn't. And that baby will hopefully be due vaccinations at 12 months and 13 months. So it's something that could be potentially flagged on a routine basis with the nurse, but that wouldn't worry me and Julie at this point.
Okay, listener says, can you please tell me if there is anything that has been proven to help with hair loss? I have PCOS-related hair loss and it's starting to take over my life. I have most of the other symptoms under control with hormone treatment except this one. I tried oxygen treatment, is that right? But it's just become too expensive. I don't think it's working. I've recently started to take extra protein and collagen, but is there anything else I could do?
This is a very unfortunate issue within polycystic ovarian syndrome. And the primary thing is that that person is taking all the prescribed treatments from their consultant straight away, because that will help to mitigate against this. I think when somebody has a long-term diagnosis with something like this, sometimes things can fall by the wayside. But from what that texter said, it doesn't sound like that's an issue. You can get creams. They're based... you kind of have to kind of rub them into the scalp, basically. There's one based on minoxidil, which was kind of Rogaine or Regaine, which had been advertised. And you can get shampoos in the pharmacy as well. But the primary thing I think there would be to make sure that the actual medical treatment is correct and up to date. And I don't think I would invest big amounts in oxygen treatment or the extra collagen and protein. And I think if they kind of do those few things and it doesn't work for them, there are specialists called trichologists who can help with hair restoration.
Is that a referral from the GP that you need?
It would usually be, yeah.
Okay.
But I'd maximise and make sure I was taking the correct prescribed treatments. I would try something over the counter from the pharmacist, and I probably would hold off on spending money on oxygen treatment. I'm not aware of any strong evidence that that's helpful.
Okay. So this is the first of many of these now for the next few months. Niall, struggling to clear a chesty cough. I have been checked. There's nothing on my lungs. What else can I do?
Well, nothing on their lungs is a really good start, but the vast majority of these type of chestiness and coughs, they're actually coming from a little bit higher up within the upper airways and kind of the other breathing apparatus like the trachea. So if they've been checked out and they've been told that it isn't their lungs, it's possible that it's an upper airways thing, provided they're relatively well. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in a rush to do anything other than take over-the-counter remedies. Go to undertheweather.ie, which is actually a really underused and really excellent HSE resource.
Sorry, what's it called?
Undertheweather.ie.
Never heard of this before.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
So it just points people for information, is it? Undertheweather.ie.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good website, and I haven't looked at it myself in a long time. I assume it's still going. But the HSE, if people look on their website, they really have ramped up the amount of resources that are there and real practical stuff. So I would say sit it out a little bit longer in a situation like that.
What about the flu and the cold vaccine? I see texts coming around from that. I've actually booked myself in for one next Monday. I've never had the flu vaccine before, but I am not getting... I'm making every effort to not have a repeat of the last quarter of last year, Niall.
Yes, definitely. Well,
colds and sickness, and I can't deal with it again. So, yeah.
Well, look, we get it. So I had my COVID vaccine and my flu vaccine on Friday, and definitely it's completely safe to get both of them together. Anybody who has been advised to get it probably, well, definitely should.
Well, I have asthma, so I'm not.
Yeah, it's safe to take. It's safe to take in pregnancy. the real common myth that I suppose we're always countering, comes up every single year, is that the flu vaccine can cause the flu, and that's impossible. The commonest side effects that we see from the flu vaccine would be discomfort at the site of the injection itself. Anything worse than that is almost unheard of.
Right.
And it is safe.
I have heard that.
Yeah.
So it's
people will tell me, I'll ask them within a consultation, do you want the flu vaccine? And they'll say, no, it gave me a flu back in 1995 or something like that. Mm. And that isn't possible. It's a little bit like saying I put diesel into a petrol car and it ran perfectly.
Yeah,
it's just not possible.
Right, okay. Good to know.
Yeah, but and the COVID vaccine, strongly advise as well. And I think people are a bit vaccined out. We've had so many
COVID
vaccines.
We've had a big run of it in the last couple of years.
We have had, but I would say to people, they're free. There's very few things that are completely free.
Yeah.
They are entirely free. And they definitely do prevent the spread of flu, certainly. And the evidence behind the COVID vaccine is that it prevents hospitalization and it prevents death in those who get it. And it only takes a second. The needle is absolutely tiny. You don't even feel it.
Listener is 20 weeks pregnant. They're getting sharp pains in their stomach only last a few seconds, but they feel like they've pulled a muscle. The midwife says it's round ligament pain, but they're still quite nervous. What should they do?
Okay, well, when you're pregnant, you can take things like paracetamol. That's known to be safe in pregnancy. So if they're not taking any pain relief, they can take paracetamol. The round ligament basically attaches the womb to the pelvis. So especially in somebody's first pregnancy, as that ligament stretches for the first time, it can be really, really painful. So apart from resting it, taking pain relief, if that's the diagnosis that this patient has, there unfortunately isn't a massive amount. It's worth, if they're attending a hospital or a community midwife, to try and get linked in with physiotherapy. There are group physiotherapy classes where people can be taught very simple things like when they're getting out of bed, kind of keep your legs together so you're not widening your pelvis and kind of stretching the ligament even more. Just very practical things like that, if that's what that is. But I'm always very careful in pregnancy and pain and things like that. That's assuming this patient isn't having any vaginal bleeding or loss or discharge and that they're otherwise well.
So should they go to their doctor?
I think if they've spoken to an experienced midwife and they have been diagnosed with that, then generally speaking, I'm OK with that. But if it's escalating or worsening, I mean, we tend to share a lot of the antenatal care with our midwife colleagues and they're extremely experienced and they're excellent at what they do. So if a midwife has diagnosed that, I'm usually comfortable with that. But if they're vomiting, if they have a temperature, if they're running to the bathroom all the time, if they feel otherwise unwell or it's coming in a more sustained way, then I would go and see somebody either in your hospital or your own GP.
Okay. Interesting one here, Niall. Can you please ask the GP about Zika and travelling to Vietnam? My husband and I are going on honeymoon soon and looking to conceive. So how long can it stay in the system or what should we look out for symptoms wise? What are the current recommendations?
Okay, so Zika was really big back in 2018, 2019. Yeah. And then for obvious reasons in 2020, it was kind of put on the back burner. The advice is pretty clear that anybody going to a Zika area, and they said Vietnam, was it?
Yes, Vietnam, traveling specifically.
Vietnam is one of those. They should absolutely make sure that they have robust contraception for the 6 months after they come home. People, there is a theoretical risk of if you contract Zika in pregnancy, that it can cause a condition called microcephaly, which is a small skull in your baby, which is invariably fatal in utero. So somebody who's going to an area that has Zika risk should avoid pregnancy for at least 6 months after they come home.
6 months. Are there many countries that still have the Zika warning? Or?
There are. The CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control in the US, they update the maps on it regularly. So anyone who's travelling, I would advise them to check